Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome back to the Road Ahead Cafe. I'm your host, Rick Gabrielli, and I'm here with change facilitator Frank Vandenhorst and mindfulness coach Peter M. Fellows. And in this week's episode is all about stress. Peter, can you tell us something about what you'll be sharing with us today?
Sure. You know, it's always good to be here with you, Fearless Frank, and our Legion of Roadies. Episode 53. Welcome to the first episode of year two of the Road Ahead Cafe podcast. When will this madness end? And to celebrate the beginning of our second year, we're giving away free cookware because my wife and I got a brand new set. And so we're giving away our 10-year-old set. You're welcome to it. Just give us a shout. And this week, we're talking all about stress. Are you in favor of it or are you against it? Because some people love stress while other people despair of it. But don't you despair, because I'm here with Frank and Rick, and we're going to serve up a dish, the dish, on stress. Rick?
Great stuff, Peter. Frank, how about you?
Peter, are you really sharing and selling or giving away 10-year-old stuff? I mean, you're such a generous guy. Wonderful. I get stressed out of this. But anyway, stress, wow, what a subject. If there is one thing all humanity is dealing with, it's stress. The word stress comes from the Latin strictus, which means tight and or narrow, or stringere, which means to tighten. In the Middle English, it's referring to hardship and the use of force to have a person comply to something. And in the old French words, estressé, means narrowness and oppression. So, well, stress goes back quite a while, as you can see. Mostly stress is referred to something bad, but is that always true? Are you in for something new? Stay tuned.
Good man, Frank. Thank you. So this is what I'll be sharing. Stress can be good or bad. The body's reaction versus the mind's reaction. And we learn to move toward embracing challenges to our system or shy away from them. Okay, what do you have for us today, Peter?
Okay, have you got stress in your life? Why? The common perception is that we have a lot of stuff in our life that's causing us stress. And I get that. Too much to do, too little time, work and relationship demands, bills, budgets, bottom lines. But imagine that you step back from that perspective just for one moment. Do you remember a time that you were head over heels in love? What was going on in your life at that time? You probably had a lot of stuff going on, right? A lot of stuff that normally would result in you feeling really stressed out, right? But you were in love, so nothing bothered you. Why? That didn't change anything going on in your life. It's because stress is not about the conditions in your life. Stress is about how your brain, Dobby, describes the conditions in your life. And when you're in love, Dobby's focus is on that love. He, she can't believe how fortunate you are to have found someone so special. And because it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too. That valuation of you overwhelms all of the other perceived value threats that otherwise might stress you out. Experience is 10% what's going on and 90% the story that Dobby adds to what's going on. Without Dobby's stories, you don't have any stress. Dobby decides what's a value threat and what isn't. And you say, easy for you to say, Peter, you're like Mr. Mello. You don't worry about anything, but I'm not wired that way. I hear you, and you're absolutely right. Well, not about me. It's only through coaching my brain, Dobby, to ask the Pathfinder's question that stress has begun to melt away. But Dobby still gets uptight from time to time. Not me, Dobby. You are, however, absolutely right about the brain. Dobby, your brain is wired to worry. Researchers have discovered that Dobby doesn't share with you what's happening when it's happening. What you're experiencing right now is actually, it actually happened 10 seconds ago. And the reason for this is Dobby's editing all the different camera shots to only show you what makes sense in a sequence, like a movie. That 10 second delay that he has gives him or her the chance to evaluate what's going on and choose her reaction. But what those decisions are based upon is his, her internalized description acquired over your lifetime and wired into his neural pathways. So that helps Dobby respond to situations much faster. You walk into an office, you see a chair you've never seen before. You don't have to stop and go, well, this doesn't look like the chairs I've been on before. Can I sit on it? No, because he, she is able to learn that very quickly and respond to that. So mostly the internalized description is necessary and it's a good thing. But if Dobby got wired to see too many things as value threats, that'll signal your amygdala to fire off distress signals to your hypothalamus like a trigger-happy machine gunner and dump a cocktail of chemicals into your system that pump out the heart and pump out the perspiration. Now, I don't want your Dobby to decide that something is wrong with you because he, she has negative thoughts. Nothing wrong with negative thoughts. They're like a passing storm cloud. They do little lasting damage. But if Dobby's a storm chaser, it's going to feel like it's always raining on you. The thought comes, the thought goes, no problem. What hurts you is when Dobby decides to follow a train of thought down a rabbit hole and stay to have tea with it. A worry thought, something that can stress you, is meant to stimulate you to action. But once you have the message, Dobby should just get going rather than going over and over and over it, because it's chronic worry that gives you migraines, stiff neck, lower back pain, high blood pressure. Well, you know better than me what it's doing to your health. And stress is a byproduct of Dobby's misguided intention to protect you from all the perceived value threats. But there's another strange factor at work here too. Researchers found that Dobby, your brain, deciding there's a lot of stress in your life isn't even the problem. Not if Dobby decides that stress is a good thing. Those folk who judge stress as being a positive force in their life are less likely to suffer health consequences than those folk who see stress as a negative force. How could stress be positive, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. Some people think they work better under stress. It gives them the energy they need. Some people think that they can handle the stress and even learn or grow from it. And now I'm going to tell you how to reduce stress. Very simple. Fall in love. Well, not quite a viable option for you at this time. That's okay. It doesn't have to be with another person, although that would do it. Fall in love with all the good things in your life, because research shows that when Dobby, your brain, feels grateful for the good stuff in your life, Dobby doesn't get stressed as much. And just like you wrote obsessively in your diary about how that dreamy so-and-so looked, and think about what it would be like to be with him and her, write about what evokes a feeling of gratitude in you and why. And fall in love with Dobby, your long-suffering conditioned brain. Whatever you're doing in life, your brain's going along with you. So fall in love with him and write about why you want to help him or her become more relaxed. And fall in love with the Pathfinder's quests. You deserve more fulfillment and flow in your life. And all you have to do is to help Dobby step back from the painful thoughts and pivot to asking the Pathfinder's question. Details at petermfellows.com. You want to know more about stress? Can you handle it? Can you handle it? Well, the Road Ahead Cafe is happy to oblige. Just hold on to your seats, because Frank and Rick are coming.
Great stuff, Peter. Thank you. Frank, what have you got for us?
Well, I can tell you that even if you are falling in love, can be quite stressful, because I feel love, but does the other person respond to that? So I agree with you, Peter, falling in love. And if you both fall in love, well, that's everything. Anyway, stress, you can be stressed out, overstressed, distressed, stuck into traffic, not being able to pick up in time your kids from school, not being able to be on time for your dentist appointment. We all know about that. Or feeling the pressure to outperform the competition, to have better grades than your very smart sister, for instance. You might have responsibilities that you find overwhelming, or you don't have much or any control over the outcome of a situation. Experiences discrimination, hate and abuse, not having enough work, severe health or money issues, a divorce, more and more are all potential distress and stress boosters. Does this make you smile? No, it doesn't. Me neither. So in all these situations, stress is a physical reaction to a mental and emotional experience of a situation you don't like. Pain in your stomach, high blood pressure, headaches, and more are often related to distress and negative stress. But is stress always bad? No, it isn't. Peter already referred to it, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more. As usual in life, there are two sides of a coin, positive stress. Yes, you might not believe it, but it does exist, positive stress. Positive stress you have for an upcoming wedding, for example, holidays, a new job, a new house, pregnancy. Wow, it finally is going to work. Wonderful. Positive stress helps people to perform better and increase their job satisfaction, research shows over and over again. These are situations you are looking forward to with a positive mindset. They make you feel joyful and excited. So what is stress? Stress is your mental, emotional, and physical reaction to a situation. And the good news is that you can change that reaction. To quote the well-known Indian yogi Sadhguru, he says, what every man and every human being wants is to live joyfully and peacefully. In terms of his relationships, he wants to be loving and affectionate, pleasantness within himself and pleasantness around him. When this happens, he says, in our body, we call this health and pleasure. When this happens in our mind, we call this peace and joy. When this happens in our emotion, we call this love and compassion. And when this happens in our energy, we call this blissfulness and ecstasy. He put it well, I think, but how to make this real in relation to distress? If you experience any negative or distressful things popping up in your life, ask yourself the following question. What is happening right now? The key thing here is that you don't interpret, don't condemn, don't judge the situation or anyone involved. You just shut up. What is happening right now? And you start to observe yourself. Remain an observer. Watch and be silent. But how do I become an observer, you might ask? Easier said than done. True. I recommend you to count down from 10 to 1. No, not from 1 to 10, no, but from 10 to 1. Doing this will help you to become a create, help you, this will help you to become and create a conscious presence. You become aware and alert. So do it slowly. Try it. 10, 9, 8, etc. And then when you're finished, what do you experience? You will be more relaxed, and relaxation eases the mind and lowers negative excitement and opens you up to look at the situation from a different angle. So again, what is happening right now? Don't interpret, don't condemn, just listen. Just listen. In episode 18, we talked about gratitude. I invite you to listen to that episode in which I also did a quick meditation. It might be very helpful to deal with negative stress in a better way. So please listen to that one. To quote two things from that episode. Number one, if hurt, in this case, stress, is the teacher, gratitude is the lesson. Can you find something to be grateful for in all that misery, in all that stress? I challenge you. And I say to you that you can. Just look very closely and listen to yourself talk. The second thing is, being grateful is saying thank you in a sincere way. And that's the other key. It is just the beginning of change, the transformation of negative stress into something positive. It's the beginning of restoring your inner balance. It's the beginning to create more and more pleasantness within yourself first, and as a result, more pleasantness around you. Rick, What are your ideas about stress? Or do you already feel so relaxed that you don't have anything to say about the subject anymore? I doubt it.
Great stuff, Frank. Thank you. So what I wanted to share today is I was thinking about this, and as I thought about the topic of stress, I actually thought about the good stress, because we all have it. So no one's ever going to have a day without stress. But the way you look at it and the way you really feel about stress determines, as both Peter and Frank so eloquently said, how you're going to feel about it and what's going to happen. So I thought about the poem and the book, Children Learn What They Live, by Dorothy Law Nolte. She wrote the poem in 1972 and the book in 1998. And it's a terrific book that I got when I became a parent. We got the poem as a gift, and then I read it and looked it up and found that there was a book behind it. And so I'll read you, you know, just a couple of the things, because I think it's so pertinent to stress. Children learn what they live. If children live with criticism, they learn to condemn. If children live with hostility, they learn to fight. If children live with fear, they learn to be apprehensive. If children live with pity, they learn to feel sorry for themselves. If children live with ridicule, they learn to feel shy. If children live with jealousy, they learn to feel envy. If children live with shame, they learn to feel guilty. If children live with encouragement, they learn confidence. If children live with tolerance, they learn patience. If children live with praise, they learn appreciation. If children live with acceptance, they learn to love. If children live with approval, they learn to like themselves. If children live with recognition, they learn it is good to have a goal. If children live with sharing, they learn generosity. If children live with honesty, they learn truthfulness. If children live with fairness, they learn justice. If children live with kindness and consideration, they learn respect. If children live with security, they learn to have faith in themselves and in those around them. If children live with friendliness, they learn the world is a nice place in which to live. So I thought about my own life, and I remember as a young boy, my father and mother said, okay, these are the chores you're going to have. So you're going to do this, you're going to do that, your sister will do that, your brother will do that. We just did it. I remember learning how to save money in these little envelopes that had a squirrel on the front, and you had these little pockets, you put coins in them, we would stack the coins and save them, bring them to the bank. So we saved our money. I remember working in menial jobs in my father's auto body shop. The first thing I did when I was 9 years old was I cleaned the bathrooms. A body shop bathroom is very dirty. I was 9 years old. He said, here's the brush, here's the bucket. This is a menial but very important task. It has to be done every day. You go in there, you do it. I graduated from cleaning the bathrooms to cleaning the coffee counter and the job site and the ashtrays. They did smoke then, and all these things that seemed very menial, but they were very important to keep a clean environment. So I remember in my own life then growing toward, and I found it stressful in the beginning. The reason I'm bringing it up is that I didn't want to do that job. I thought it was dirty and stressful, but as I did it more and more, I learned how important it was to endure that stress, but then it became second nature. So I no longer cared about cleaning a toilet or dumping an ashtray or cleaning a coffee counter or a job site. I put the tools away. I shined them. I never thought that any of these things were stressful. So I learned what I lived. Becoming a parent, it was very difficult to, I didn't have an owner's manual. It was a lot of stress in the beginning. The first month, the first year, the first few years doing community service. My father had a way of parenting and doing community service, and my mother had a very different way. But learning both from both parents was very helpful. We never shied away from stress. We never were afraid to talk about it. I remember passing down, accepting, and even welcoming everyday stress with exercise, with doing the chores outside, with cutting grass, taking the waste around the trees away. So I never worried about doing these things because I knew they would make me better. And so I looked at stress in my life as something that improved me. So it was just like putting that sword in the hot fire. We're forged by stress. So even though we all have the same stresses, and every one of us, every one of you that are watching and listening, we all have the same problems, but how we view them, if we view them as forging as opposed to hurting us, it's the way you look at it. And actually you can benefit from it by accepting that this is the elevation we're looking for. You're coming to this show to learn how to cope and elevate. The best thing I can say to you is with the Road Ahead Cafe, we're giving you tools to learn which is body and which is mind, and then processing both. So I hope that you got something out of this today. Peter, back to you.
I'm sure they did. You guys are on fire today. So each week here at the Road Ahead Cafe, we offer you powerful insights and life hacks to help you level up your life. But don't lose sight of the fact that all we're really doing is reminding you how you're already built for fulfillment and flow. We're just helping you use your own innate power. And even stress has value, as Frank and Rick said. And your brain, Dobby, does know how to handle it. Research shows that for several hours after you have a strong stress reaction, your brain is rewiring itself to remember and to learn from the experience to prepare you to handle similar stress the next time you encounter it. That process of growing and learning from a difficult experience is termed stress inoculation, because it's a little bit like giving your brain a stress vaccine. And because we want to make life easier for you, we created the Road Ahead Cafe. Now, you don't have to stress out about whose podcast should you listen to with your limited precious time. Just tune your radio to the Road Ahead Cafe and you get three opinions for the price of one, all under 30 minutes. That's the best deal in the podcast universe, right, Rick?
Totally. Great stuff, Peter. Thank you. Frank, your final thoughts?
Yes, and that's a de-stress booster, actually, to listen to the podcast. Well, the best remedy is to cut stress is to follow love. That's a tricky one, as we have seen, and Peter explained how that really works. Stress is your reaction to a situation, and the good news is that you can change that reaction, because change is the essence of life. As I have said in my presentation during the road trip, thought, words, and feelings are magnetic and sticky. This stress is very, very sticky, especially if it is linked to blame, anger, resentment, and in general, to pain. Turn it around. Ask yourself what you are grateful for in life. Grateful, yes. And the simple counting exercise at the beginning, not 1 to 10, 10, 9, etc. And remember, gratitude is the attitude, is the beginning of change. And as Peter already said, if you want to know more, of course, you can go to my site, www.frankwise.nl. But it's much better to link to the Road Ahead Cafe guys, because, well, we don't know all the answers. But I'm sure one of us, Peter says yes. Okay, he knows one. I will. We talk to him later. We help him. We give him a little stress. So he has to rewind. As he told, his brain has to be reset. Anyway, contact us. Subscribe. We have fun. 30 minutes of free sessions with one of us is great. And as always, I say, what you think about and think about, you bring about. And don't forget to subscribe and have a wonderful day.
Great stuff. So my final thoughts, when we discover healthy stress and process what we think is unhealthy stress, we become more resilient for ourselves and those around us. Thank you for joining us today for the Road Ahead Cafe. Remember, if you like us, subscribe. And if you love us, make a quick selfie video right now to tell us why. Don't be shy. We look forward to getting together with you again next week. Until then, savor your day today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.